Hello everyone, and welcome to the next edition of the VTX podcast. Here at the Veterinary Thought Exchange, we like to start by asking, what are you thinking? And this week, we bring you another Just a Thought episode, so one of our clinical episodes. And this week, our Just a Thought is, does honey heal wounds? We hear a lot about honey in the media, in veterinary medicine, human medicine, and really interested to chat to the amazing Amelia about the benefits of honey, looking a little bit at the evidence for the use of honey in wound management and whether that is of benefit in our veterinary patients. So really excited for you to join us for this episode today. Right, Amelia, well, thank you so much for joining us again on the podcast, but this time with our sort of clinical hats on, which I'm really excited about because this is definitely a topic that I don't know very much about. So just for the listeners, just to kind of make sure we're setting ourselves up for this chat, are you okay just to really quickly just introduce yourself and really that kind of your clinical focus to really set us up for our conversation today?
Yes, thank you so much for having me on to have a chat with you today. I'm Amelia. I'm a registered veterinary nurse. I've been nursing for around 17 years. My background is in primary care nursing, and I have always been very much passionate about wound management and champion nurses to utilise their skills when it comes to wound management cases. And I now teach that to veterinary teams nationally across the UK.
Really, so really interesting. And so what we decided today was that for our kind of Just a Thought series, we were going to do our Just a Thought today on whether honey heals wounds. Now, this is definitely something that people will be aware of from the human literature, from the veterinary literature, and from the media. Like, I think this is something that probably a lot of people are just aware of from kind of watching the news. So I think, you know, our first question has to really be, you know, that we've got this idea, I think, as we do about many sort of medical things from the media. So we've heard that honey heals all wounds, let's say, maybe one of those sorts of headlines. Is there evidence in veterinary medicine to support this claim that honey is the mystical healer that we think it might be?
Ooh, so there's two parts to that. One is, does honey heal wounds? And the other one is, what's the evidence? So in terms of how honey works, so to answer the question of, does honey heal wounds, it's a great dressing which complements the wound healing process. So there are thousands of wound dressings on the market. None of them will heal your wound. So the body is naturally going to heal, but it's about what we can do to support that wound healing process, what products we can use, and about understanding whether we are using the right products for the right phase of healing. So honey is an absolutely fantastic wound care product, in my opinion. There's lots of benefits to using honey. So it's an anti-inflammatory product. So we need to look at the properties of the particular dressings that we're using. And honey does have anti-inflammatory properties, but it also has antioxidant and antibacterial properties as well. So there are a whole host of properties which mean that it is a great product to use in wound care. But it needs to be used at the right phase of healing. So we generally require antimicrobials during the inflammatory phase of healing. So this is the body's natural process in wound healing, and the inflammatory phase peaks about 24 to 48 hours after injury. So during this time frame, the best thing that we can do is to support that wound by providing an optimal wound healing environment. And usually that means using products that do have antimicrobial properties or debridement properties. So the body will naturally form lots of different white blood cells during that phase of healing, the inflammatory phase of healing. Lots of different inflammatory mediators will flood to the site of injury, so white blood cells, nutrients. And what we can do to support that is to help rid the wound of bioburden. So that's one of the ways that honey works really well. So it helps to debride the wound bed, and through autolysis, it removes any bioburden or sloughy, devitalized tissue up and out of the wound bed. So it helps to support that in that phase of healing. The only downside to the use of honey in wound care is that we often see it as this wonder product, because as you rightly said, there is a lot of knowledge around, or a lot of awareness rather, around honey and wound care. So it is tempting to use the same product throughout, and that's where we can go wrong, and we need to learn the different phases of healing and what products will complement the wound bed at different phases, and transition away from honey as the wound begins to proliferate.
Interesting. And I think that's really interesting actually, because that's certainly where my knowledge would fall down, like that kind of understanding. I think one of the other things then from, what's the difference then between using Manuka honey versus just going in to Tesco and getting honey off the shelf, like that runny honey stuff? Because I presume we're not putting
Yeah.
runny honey?
Runny honey. We shouldn't be putting runny honey on our wounds. So honey overall has lots of different ways where it creates a hostile environment so the bacteria can't proliferate. So it has a low pH, it has a high sugar content, it's bacteriostatic. So all of these things that mean that the bacteria don't like to live there. So the majority of honey is going to provide that, right? Because it's got those factors. But where Manuka honey is different is that it's medical grade Manuka honey. So we need to be reaching for medical grade Manuka honey as opposed to shop bought honey. And the big difference is the way that it's sterilized. So medical grade Manuka honey is sterilized through gamma sterilization. So gamma sterilization will kill any bacterial spores. And one of those spores that we're often concerned about is Clostridium botulinum. And that's where the term botulism comes from. So when we hear about kids, don't give honey to kids because it can cause botulism, that's where that term comes from. So when that particular bacterial spore is exposed to oxygen, it becomes highly toxic. Through gamma sterilization, it does kill those spores, but usual heat sterilization doesn't kill those spores. So that's the big difference. The other difference is the way that it's filtered. So Manuka honey, medical Manuka honey has been filtered, so there aren't things in it that would be in your average shop-bought honey. So there are lots of studies to show that honey off the shelves does actually have a lot of bacteria and organisms, I guess, in it that shouldn't be there, whereas medical grade Manuka honey has been filtered to remove anything from it that shouldn't be there. So I don't know, things like wax, bee wings. What would you expect to
Yeah.
be in bee wings?
Bee
Maybe nobody wants a bee
wings.
wing in a
Oh,
wound
bee
bed.
wings.
You
No
don't
one
want
wants
that.
that. No one wants that. So if clients are phoning up being like, so, I've just poured some honey on this dog's wound at home. We're not supporting that.
No, we're not
Sorry,
supporting that. What
stop.
we are supporting is that they
But no.
care about healing the wound, and they're not
Yes,
saying
there we go.
leave it open to the air, because I mean, if there's anything that gives me an eye twitch more when I speak to owners about wound management, it would be, can we just leave it open to the air now? So
To
we
the air.
know.
Isn't the air great? We should talk. That'll be our next episode. Just a thought, does air heal everything? No.
So we know
I
that
love that.
a moist wound environment supports wound healing, and wounds will heal twice as fast in a moist wound environment compared to being left open to the air. So absolutely, let's not leave it open to the air.
saying moist repeatedly just always makes me feel a bit ick, but let's it's okay. So it's really interesting with all of this discussion about, I think, when to intervene with different, you know, dressings. So thinking about that, I'm aware that obviously there's medical grade Manuka honey, but are you sort of supporting the use of honey impregnated dressings, or are you applying medical grade honey to a wound and then putting a dressing over it? Like, what's your preference there? Is there a better way of kind of doing that? Okay.
Either, and it's very much dependent on the wound presentation, the etiology of the wound. So for example, if you have a puncture wound or you have a deficit that you can only get a topical gel into, a honey gel, absolutely fine. If you have a wound that has a lot of slough that needs to bride in and you need a little bit more oomph, then the impregnated dressings work really well because they are saturated in the Manuka honey. So there will be a bit more of the product still in contact with the wound bed. And I think they can often be easier to use. When you put some honey gel on the wound, 9 times out of 10, you'll start to get some movement of that runny honey, as you say. So it can make it a bit more difficult to keep in place, to bandage. So I think it's very much dependent on the wound, dependent on the patient, dependent on the location. One thing I would say that I very much promote is the use of a barrier cream when you're using honey, because inevitably you will have an increase in exudate produced from the osmotic effect of the honey as it draws fluid up and out of the wound bed. So use of a barrier cream will help to prevent the peri-wound tissue from maceration. So I absolutely would be promoting the use of that for any wounds where you're using Manuka honey.
Interestingly, so, you know, when we talk about kind of sugary stuff, you know, I'm always thinking like my sort of very basic first principles would be, you know, that we're actually, you know, feeding the bacteria. So if a wound is heavily infected or heavily exudated, you know, infected, let's say, you know, is honey still appropriate there, or are we just kind of adding fuel to the fire in any way? You know, are we just feeding the bacteria that are
no,
there?
Because it's due to a number of factors. So the high sugar content, so it's about the composition of it, but it also has then the low pH, and that there are a number of ways that it does support the antimicrobial effects. I think that sometimes we do need to use it as an adjunct to something else. I think that we can never overlook the benefits of really good wound bed preparation and ensuring that we are clipping well, lavaging well, using the right solutions when required. But I think the great thing about certain topical antimicrobials is it does act as an alternative to systemic antibiotics, which we know is a huge issue in terms of antimicrobial resistance. So what were the latest statistics? That by 2050, we expect to see 10 million deaths caused just by antimicrobial resistance. So I think that it does allow us to become antimicrobial stewards by selecting antimicrobials that don't contribute to that.
Yeah.
You know, global One Health concern.
Yeah, and I think, you know, having options for topical treatment, you know, I worked for one of the big laboratories, and we talked a lot about kind of resistant bacteria and how to treat them. And I think, you know, that's always the winner, is having something topical that you can use. And remembering that actually, you know, when we look at culture and sensitivity when cultures give you that kind of information, you know, they're giving you information about antibiotics and how they work in the systemic circulation, but actually we're having so much more powerful an effect by sometimes putting something on directly or topically. And I think that's definitely underutilized in many situations. So, you know, really important. Actually, I suppose that kind of feeds into that question, you know, can honey really tackle resistant bacteria like MRSP or you know, these Pseudomonas infections and different things? Or, you know, I think that sometimes that kind of marketing, there's a lot of marketing hype about resistant bacteria, but I think topical options are definitely a very important part of managing those sorts of infections too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you sort of touched on that culture and sensitivity side of it, which I think, again, from an antimicrobial stewardship and wound care perspective, we need to be very conscious about when we are performing swabs on wounds and what antibiotics are being selected. Now, from a nursing perspective, that isn't within my remit. Obviously, that's down to the discretion of the vet. But we do need to ensure that we are only taking swabs when there are signs of active infection.
Absolutely.
Because we can't confuse that with inflammation.
Absolutely.
Because inflammation, as we said, is normal. So there's a big area where we can just immediately strip out the use of antibiotics when we consider that that phase of healing is normal. And there's going to be commensal bacteria on the wound as well, right? Because it's never a sterile environment.
Exactly. And I think that you're exactly right. We're swabbing areas. It's like when I get sent, you know, vulvar or vaginal swab, or you know, for interpretation areas which you, and they grow some bacteria, and you're like, well, there are bacteria there. Like, I think it's just, we're swabbing areas that are, there are already going to be bacteria. You know, yeah, the wound has already been contaminated by the ground. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's about, if you can't pronounce the name of the bacteria and you've never heard of it before, it's probably not relevant, is always what I say. You know, like, well, it's true, you know, but if you're having to look it up going, what is that? Like, we cultured our scopes, our bronchoscope the other day, and it came up with a bacteria I'd never heard of. Probably not relevant, probably came from someone's shoe. So, like, I think, like, you're right, that kind of wider discussion about kind of putting it all in context is really, really important.
Absolutely. And looking at the bigger picture, isn't it, from a kind of contextualized care and holistic approach. Yeah,
exactly. So then, circling back to our question, does honey heal wounds? In a nutshell, your answer is?
My answer is yes, when used at the right phases of healing. But it isn't the honey that's healing the wound, it's the body's natural response and the body's natural wound management, I guess, for that's healing the wound. We are simply selecting products at the right phase of healing to complement what that wound needs at that time. You did ask about evidence, which I didn't mention, but I think is very relevant, because the difficulty with wound management is, especially in veterinary medicine, but I also recently found out at the Wound Care Today conference, which is a human medicine conference in wound care, which I infiltrated. And I found out that actually a big issue for them is there's a massive lack of clinical evidence in wound care. So we are, you know, even further behind with that, as we are in anything in vet med. We're always following on from human healthcare and how they approach things. And there is a big lack of clinical evidence with wound care, because from an ethical perspective, we just can't get the study sizes that we need to demonstrate that a certain product is more effective than another product. It's just not ethically viable to get those kind of study groups and to get that data. So I think that's where we really lack in terms of what's the evidence. Yes, there's lots of evidence to support that honey is a great product for wound and has all of these antimicrobial great properties and benefits. But if you're searching for specific evidence, it's very limited in vet med in terms of the study groups and the sizes.
As you say, as with many things. Great. Well, thanks so much for chatting about honey. Did you think we'd be chatting about honey, Karen, today?
No, but I did quite fancy some honey and toast at the start of that conversation. But as it went on,
not now.
I'm feeling it less.
Right. Good. Well, that's fine. I think as long as you're maybe okay with ingesting little bits of bee wings.
That's what bothers me.
But it was, I wonder whether we'll get loads of backlash. Remember when Edwina Curry said that every egg is salmonella? I feel like we're doing the same thing with bee wings and honey. Maybe we're going to get into trouble and be
hashtag
like,
bee wings.
Hashtag, maybe we'll have the same media outrage as Edwina.
Any media is good media, right?
I mean. Exactly. Exactly. Well, listen, that's great. Well, listen, thanks. So honestly, thank you so much for chatting to us today. That was really fascinating. And we, again, really appreciate you joining us. So thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
A massive thank you again to Amelia for joining us for our Just a Thought episode today. I really, really hope that you enjoyed that and were able to get some CPD on the go, which is our intention with these clinical episodes. If there's any topics you would like us to cover on our Just a Thought episodes, then please do let us know. But a massive thank you again to all of you for joining us. To learn more about VTX and what we do and the CPD that we provide, please head over to www.vtx-cpd.com and check out all the amazing CPD we have to offer. Massive thank you again for listening, and I look forward to seeing you next time.